Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, I sat down just getting to my seat to watch the Bengals and the Jets in person out in Cincinnati. And my nephew goes, I have some news for you. I was like, what? And he goes, Nick Mangold passed away. And I was like, it just took my breath away. I mean, because 2 weeks ago, he was talking about it. We all knew about it. He didn't seem like it was, you know, I knew it was dire because you wouldn't go public unless it was. And they couldn't find a living donor. Couldn't find anybody that could help him. And I often think about like the time he was here with Rex Ryan and how he and Brick were like, they were like soldiers together. You know what I mean? Like they were like right in the middle of that offensive line, and they were all about, you know, being tough and running the rock and the ground and pound, and everybody just thought so highly of him. I mean, you know, this guy, when you think about it, in the 11 years that he played, he made 7 Pro Bowls, 2 All-Pro teams, 1 second team All-Pro. I mean, that's Hall of Fame worthy numbers. And I, the sadness adds to it, but I mean, he was a great guy. And I remember being at a Ranger game with him, and the Rangers were playing the Dallas Stars, and he was sitting right behind the Dallas Stars bench. And throughout the entire game, he was yelling at Klingberg, one of the defensemen for Dallas. I think the Rangers ended up winning the game that night. But, he was just such an understated, great guy and exactly what a center should be, you know, and that was a gut punch yesterday for anybody that knew him, and I'm sure for the entire Jet organization over there at Florham Park had to be really difficult.
Yeah, I saw an interview with him when he came out and said that he was looking for a kidney with some Barstool guys, including Big Cat. And what made me more encouraged about his situation, even though he went public with the kidney, is he looked and sounded well for someone in that situation. I mean, he was laughing. He looked like himself. He had energy. And I was thinking, okay, well, you know, maybe he's got some time here and, you know, they'll find the kidney for him and he's going public and a lot of people know him and this is going to work out. So yes, even though we knew that things were dire, it was shocking. And of course, I mean, 41 is just, it's hard to wrap your
four children.
It's just hard to wrap your mind around. And he was just, he really did personify that era of Jets football. And this is something we'd say even before this. I mean, he was just that, you know, with the, like you said, the grounded pound and the energy that they had and just they'd push you around and they had an attitude and an edge. And when it came to the defense, had a couple of those guys as well. But yes, I mean, when it came to that offense, I mean, Nick Mangold was a guy and he stuck around here. He was always around. He was doing stuff. You'd have him on the Super Bowl. He'd be promoting things. He got involved in cooking and things like that. He was just one of those guys that you know, would walk in the room and just you'd feel more positive about anything. So it's just absolutely awful. And I don't know, you know, you're right. When you look, you just take the name off of the stats, and it's not about his stats. It's about, you know, or his career. But we do talk sports here. I mean, yes, it's a Hall of Fame resume with everything that you listed. So you know, hopefully one day his family will be able to watch that induction, that posthumous induction, because I know that would mean a lot for him.
Yeah, I mean, and I was thinking about it. The resume speaks for itself. The person speaks for himself. I mean, like the way he carried himself, never ever involved in anything other than being positive. And you're right. I mean, like I didn't see the show live, but I did see later on Rex Ryan's reaction to it. And that was genuine, man. That was really genuine because he personified Rex Ryan's teams. You know, there were about 8 or 9 guys on those teams that were really just so valuable to the success of those teams. And he was right in the middle of all of it. You remember when Bill Parcells got here, one of the first things he did, he made a trade for a Hall of Fame center by the name of...
Kevin Mawai.
Yeah, right, Kevin Mawai. And this was like the next great... like all pro center that, you know, led the team. And that's, I mean, those guys they're not a dime a dozen. They
especially
are so
on the
hard
Jets, by the way. I mean, you think about it, and I'm not trying to make fun of the organization, but it's few and far between with guys who were here, you know, played their entire career here and had success, won, beloved, stuck around. I mean, it doesn't happen a lot. I mean, he is one of a, you know, a handful of those guys that was a great player, is known as a Jet forever, and then you have positive memories about him on and off the field. I mean, you're right. Those guys are not a dime a dozen, especially with the Jets.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. When the game started yesterday in Cincinnati, I'm assuming that all the players knew. They must have said something, you know, pregame to them about, you know, maybe, you know, and I know Cincinnati had a moment of silence before the game yesterday, yeah, which was very poignant. And the Jets played like, you know, like they were inspired, especially, you know, the offense and the way that Justin Fields played, especially after what happened with Woody Johnson the week before. And then, you know, Breece Hall was on display for all to see. You know, it's funny talking to a lot of my ex-teammates and, you know, sitting there with them and watching, I'm saying, like, this guy wants to be traded from the Jets. And yesterday he goes out and has one of his best games as a Jet.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those really weird days. You know, you have a really sad situation take hold, and then you have the head coach get his first win on the road in Cincinnati. I'm at the game watching it, and, you know, and Joe Flacco played great.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of fitting that the Jets have this miracle fourth quarter comeback, you know, after the news of Nick Mangold, and it was shocking. I mean, it's such a difficult team to figure out, and I guess, you know, bad teams are tough teams to figure out. You know, this was a defense that had gotten so much better, had played great for 2 weeks, and then was miserable yesterday. This was an offense that was the worst in football for several weeks, and here comes Justin Fields and Breece Hall just doing their thing, and they're scoring points and bunches in the fourth quarter. I mean, when the Jets, I mean, they were down multiple touchdowns. They were down 14 or, you know, 13 points.
Yep.
For what it was, 3 or 4 different scores that had them down 14 to 13 points.
And by the way, going for two, when? Going for it on fourth down in the first quarter?
Yeah.
I mean, what? Where?
Well, that's why they need to play like that, because that's what Garrett Wilson was talking about at the end of the half that one time. I was like, what the hell are we doing here, man? You know, at the time they were 0-5, and he goes, we're 0-5. Well, why are we playing safe? So I did like to see that. Just, you know, let's play reckless and did play... just like we have nothing to lose because we really don't have anything
to lose.
Well,
this is the Justin Fields that you saw week one.
Yeah.
So now let's see, what are we going to see next week? You know, what's going to happen next week? And, you know, it does help to have a running game. And it also helps that the best defensive lineman for the Bengals didn't play in the second half, Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
And it's a difference. When he's not in there, they are lost. I mean, they just got ran over and ran through. And Justin played great. You know, he made a couple plays on 2-point plays, and that 1 2-point play, like, you're thinking, did that ball actually break the plane of the goal line? Mm. And I guess it did, you know. And, you know, it was just it was a fun game to watch. It wasn't fun if you were defensive guy, that's for sure, because I think in some cases, and I got a text late last night, that defense was optional a lot of these games, including the Packers and Steelers last night,
yep,
who put up over 70 points.
You know, also too with the defense, I do have to say, you know, as I'm watching the end of this game, and you know the Jets go up by one, I'm like, well, we've seen this before, right? Well, here now the you know we're going to see Joe Flacco take the Bengals down in field goal range and kick a field goal, and then they end up losing by two, and that's just the way this is going to happen. But the defense, you know, in that situation in the prior possession, stepped up and made the plays they needed to in those critical moments late in the game.
Those last two possessions for the Bengals offense were not very good, and the Bengals had the lead and could have iced the game, and the Jets got them off the field. And that's when the Jets came back and scored, and then they held them again on their final drive. But it was, I'll tell you, I will say this, going to a Cincinnati game, and you know, I haven't been there about 3 years. I mean, what they've done in downtown Cincinnati and how you get to these games, it is such a pleasure.
Yeah.
I mean, the stadium is amazing. Everybody's in black and orange. It is just an awesome experience. It's nothing like MetLife. That's all I could say.
Mm.
I was wondering, like, you know, where are the best experiences in the NFL when it comes to, like, just where the stadium is, how easy it is to get to it, the things around the stadium to do, because it's right at the southern part of the city of Cincinnati, and it sits right on the river, right, and it's right next to the Great America Ballpark where the Reds play. And it is just such a beautiful day. It is such a pleasant experience.
Yeah, I mean, we don't
except when they lose.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, and we don't get a lot of those pleasant experiences going in and out of games, especially when it comes to football. And where we live on Long Island, it's damn near impossible to enjoy or have a pleasant experience going in and out of football games. But I saw a couple of posts out there. I don't know if you posted it yourself, but others did, of you having dinner with your nephew Randy and Bleach Butt.
Yes.
And another man that we know. I'm not going to put. He's not as much of a hey look at me type of guy. So he'll remain nameless.
Keep him on the down low.
Yeah. But so that was nice. You had a nice steak dinner with your nephew and Bleach Butt.
Yeah, I went to one of my favorite restaurants of all time, the Precinct Restaurant.
Ooh.
One of Jeff Ruby's premier steakhouses throughout the Midwest and South, and we had a great time at a nice private room. It was
looked like it.
Getting much better than that, man.
And Bleach Butt picked up the tab, I'm sure, right?
No.
He did not?
No, actually, Jeff Ruby picked up the tab.
Oh, look at that.
Which I was very, I was like, wow, because, you know, I get mad at him because my name's not on his on his menu.
Right.
He's got the steak Collinsworth. He's got the steak Burrow. He's got this. He's got that. So I took a picture, sent it to him and Chris. I guess I'm having a steak Collinsworth tonight,
yeah,
which I did. And but I also said, you know, I can't get a steak. I can't get a crab cake. I can't get anything. What's going on here?
Yeah, crab cake would be perfect.
Yeah, you would think.
You know, something like that.
Something.
But the ceremony, everything went well?
Yeah, it was well, not everything went well. I mean, for me, it did. I mean, and for
obviously
everybody
the game,
was there.
But for the Bengals.
Yeah, but no, there was an issue with Corey Dillon. I don't know if you saw this on social media.
Oh, yes.
I'm not really sure what happened there. All I can tell you is every single guy that had been a part of what I had talked about 6 to 8 weeks ago with you, Ken Riley, Isaac Curtis, Willie Anderson, all basically thanked us for what we were talking about. And I got to say, the Bengals did the right thing by all of us.
Yeah.
And I had a great time. It was really, they made it easy for me. And I think most of my teammates had a great time. And then the unfortunate news hit that somehow, some way, Corey Dillon didn't get on his plane. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and blame the Bengals for that. He may blame the Bengals for it. But, you know, I'm not going to do that because I actually saw the people that took care of all of this for us, you know, handling all the logistics and everything, and most of every single one of them couldn't have been any nicer, any kinder, and couldn't have rolled out the red carpet anymore.
Yeah, it said, I guess you went to the social media, it said, you know, just leaving LAX, apparently the Bengals made reservations for Ring of Honor, but didn't pay for the reservation. I'm totally disgusted and disappointed with this.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate that is.
F the Bengals.
Be honest with you. I'm not sure how accurate that is.
Well, I mean,
something happened because Isaac Curtis came out of LA, no problem.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where Ken Riley came from, but no problem. Willie Anderson came from Atlanta, with no problem.
Yeah, so this seems like a Corey Dillon thing and not a Bengals thing.
That's what
after
it feels like.
After it was a Bengals thing and you brought it up and then they did the right thing.
And I was looking forward to seeing Court because I hadn't seen him and I didn't go last year because I wasn't invited.
Right.
A weird way. Whatever. We got that all worked out, but I was really looking forward to seeing him, and then that happened. That was really, I think most everybody there was really disappointed that he unfortunately, for whatever reason, didn't get on his plane.
But other than that, great times, 10, memories, the whole deal.
An absolute 10 to see all my teammates and great guys and great people. And it was fun to watch Lamar Parrish and Dave Lapham go in. And, of course, Dave is...
He's got to be one of the most popular people in Bengals history.
Been there for over 50 years.
Yeah.
As a player and a broadcaster.
Right, exactly. I mean, and absolutely beloved by that fan base.
100%.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How about those New York Jets? An improbable come-from-behind victory against the Cincinnati Bengals, finally getting off the schneid, BT. A much-needed win for Aaron Glenn and for Justin Fields and really for the franchise to avoid a winless season, because it was looking like that might be the case after what they played against the Panthers a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and they needed this, obviously. You know, it just a brutal day for the Jet fan, and really just a brutal day for New York sports. Of course, I'm talking about Nick Mangold here. One of those. I think Nick was like the perfect combination of tough when you need to be in terms of being on the field, and gracious and caring off. You guys, I think Hoff texted us, and I was watching my daughter's soccer game, so I was kind of unplugged from social media as I am when I'm watching my kids play, and I just heard the ding, and I'm like. I don't know that I've been that stunned in a while, bro. You know, when people get older, yeah, it's sad. Like, when Coach Carnesecca passed away and I was in Dallas during Thanksgiving, I was really sad, but he was 99, you know. And you're talking about a man with 4 children and a wife. You know, we get wrapped up in this radio thing and the sports thing and, you know, our teams. At the end of the day, it's just, you know, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. 41 years of age, so... I thought the Jets family did a phenomenal job with the tributes. You know, Darrell Revis and former players. I watched Bart on SNY. Willie Colon couldn't even speak before he was able to compose himself. Rex Ryan on ESPN was, bawling. This is a man who was loved by a lot of people, Nick Mangold, man. That's the first thing. Before we even get into the game, it's like I can't shake it. You know, it's weird. I still feel it and I still think about it. And it's eventually going to pass, you know, and he's in a better place. I certainly believe that. But the suddenness of this, like, we just had him on the show. You were off. I had him on August 26th.
Okay.
He was on our show.
I don't remember it, so that's all.
You were off August 26th. And, you know, when you hear kidney and dialysis and transplant, you know there's urgency there. But didn't you think there were at least a couple of months runway to get this thing
100%
stabilized?
And I figured somebody was going to donate the kidney to him and get him all good to go and back up and running, however that would take. I was shocked when I saw it on social media. Shocked and disturbed. Like you said, it takes a lot for me to get to that level, just being through some of the stuff that I've been through. It's not 41 years old. It's like,
yeah,
come on, man.
Yeah,
that's,
man,
horrible. I did not and such, like you said, such a big personality and lovable personality for years, even without knowing him. You could feel that across the TV or wherever it was, hearing him on the radio, all those different things. I didn't realize, though, that the Jets, so he's in their Ring of Honor?
Yeah. So then
I knew that they were on it, but I get the Ring of Honor confused. I assume that Ring of Honor is also number retired. Like, 74 should be retired.
Yeah, sometimes I get confused with that too. I mean, a guy's going to be a Hall of Famer eventually. Yeah. His numbers are there. You're talking about, you know, 7 Pro Bowls and a couple of All Pros. Everybody knows what he did. But the thing about the Jets that's really unique and why he's unique, think about some of their all-time players. And he is one of their all-time players. Like, Revis was an all-time player, but he bounced and he won a championship elsewhere. And, you know, Namath fizzled out with the Rams and, you know, Keyshawn left and Curtis came from the Pats and I could go so on and so forth. But there's very few players in Jets history that played their entire career here and were really associated with winning. If you really think about that, what Jets win that you really think about? That guy was a winner. Well, he was. I mean, he went to back-to-back AFC championship games and he was a great, great player. So it's just, it is really, really sad. And it keeps pouring in, and we'll keep his spirit alive. I don't know what else to say. I really don't. I think about this stuff, and I really struggle. And then we'll get to some game stuff. I don't know if you do this too. I struggle when it's tragic. I don't mean an older figure. Well, even though that could be sad for sure. When there's a tragedy, I always feel like I'm not going to say enough. Like I'm not going to be able to communicate what's really in my heart. Like I don't, because it's a different conversation. We're used to opening up the microphone and letting it rip and talking shop. But so I just hope that everybody knows how much this man was loved. You do. You absolutely do. And I hope that you know how much I loved him. Nick was the best.
And it was nice to see the Jets honor him by getting a win yesterday. Their first one, obviously on the road like that, comeback fashion. A really incredible performance, BT, when you think about it. And this is something that I was a week early with this. This is something that I expected them to do against the Panthers a week ago. Run the football. You don't need Garrett Wilson or Sauce Gardner to stick to your strengths running the football. And that's something obviously Mangold could have been proud of. Behind that offensive line, run the football. That's when they had their success years ago with him up front, with DeBrickishaw Ferguson, all that stuff. So the Jets are built to do that, and they haven't done it nearly enough this year at all. As a matter of fact, I would say the Fields yesterday, I was expecting him to run a little bit more. He wasn't running it. He was throwing the football. So an overall incredible comeback. I'm not gonna say it was a great performance because it wasn't. I mean, down as big as they were, just on the brink of getting the knockout punch, but they hung in there. They did show grit to the head coach's pleasure. He loved to see that, a nice gritty performance. But an impressive win to get their first win, get off the schneid, and maybe calm things down a little bit, getting that goose egg off the board.
And I enjoyed it. And I know not every Jet fan did, which is part of the torturous history of being a Jet fan, because now, I don't think this is the majority of people because it's still a little bit too early in the season for this, but I've seen some stuff. I've even got some texts from buddies. Here we go. Jets going to give up the first overall pick because of this win. Guys, I mean, it's too early for that. And I've been criticized for this. Not that I care, but I've been very open with you guys. Like, when it's late in seasons and the Jets are awful, I'll bet against the Jets. When it's late in the season and we're talking about first, second, third overall pick, I don't want the Jets to win. This is different. First of all, if the Jets, and I never thought they were going to go winless. I never thought that at all. But if they did, there's zero chance Aaron Glenn comes back. And I don't know if Aaron Glenn's going to eventually be the guy who gets the Jets out of the doldrums here, but you know, you've got to at least give him a chance to plant some seeds and stack some bricks here. So I don't get wrapped up in the draft stuff, number one. I thought they played hard, which is great. I don't know how they won. I still don't know how they scored almost 40 points.
The Bengals stink.
I know, but so but the Jets are worse. Yeah. I mean, we all know the Bengals' defense is wretched, but we all know that the Jets are right there with the Titans and the Browns. So when I found out about Nick's passing, I was watching my daughter's game. When I had to leave and my son had a football game, so I was watching and then DVRing, whatever, the daily juggle that a lot of us do. When I told him that the Jets won when we got in the car, he's like, what? And then we went back and we watched it. And, like, even though I knew that they won, there were still points in the game. I'm like, there's no way they're going to get this first down. There's no way they're going to win this game. There's no way they're going to convert
this. Did you do the pod yesterday?
I did not do the pod.
No pod?
I didn't. No. I know. I just had too many family commitments.
They finally won.
I know. At the end of the day, family's going to win out. Trust me. It's one of the only pods. It's the only pod that I've missed. And I'm gonna make one up either tonight or tomorrow for sure. But I couldn't do the immediate reaction. I let people know. Yeah, it would have been nice to get on there and talk about a win.
Yeah.
It really would have been nice. Now, where does this go, like, in the context of the standings? I don't even care. Like, that's not the story. The story is the cloud owner ran over the quarterback with a Mack truck during the week. The slings and arrows were everywhere, and the Jets showed a little character and a little fortitude on the road against a very good offensive team that is awful on defense, and they won a game. So I'm not going to make too much more out of it than it really is, except that I'm happy because, you know, the day that we lost Nick, the Jets did find a way to win. But I am happy for Aaron. Like, I, you know, and you and I do share this belief. We don't agree with everything with the Jets and Glenn. you and I both think that there's leadership qualities with him that could come out and could be uplifting in the right circumstances, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I need to see him get through this now and build off of this. Even throughout the course of the game yesterday, there were certain things, like it kicking that first field goal after he went for it from his own 37.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you then, on fourth and one, settle for three? Now, again, you want to say take the points, okay, to add up to a Jets victory, but there are certain things just about the way he coaches where I still think, and it just could be a learning curve, first-time head coach, 0-7 going in, where he's on his heels a little bit. I'd like to see a little more decisiveness, a little more confidence there. I was perplexed by the broadcast being, they were dumbfounded by the fact that the Jets were going for two when they were down seven at the point.
Mm-hmm. Six.
They scored the touchdown.
Yep.
And they needed the extra point to get them to within seven.
Yes.
And they go for two. And that to me was the no-brainer right move, because if you don't get it there, you just go for two again. Like, that's an easy spot. And
they were surprised. You're right. The broadcast was like, what are they doing?
It took them a little while to figure it out. So I thought that was the right call for Glenn.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously getting that call overturned, the right thing. So there were some good things, some bad things as well. I mean, Chase Brown was gashing them all day long. They couldn't stop the run. So there's a long way to go. But the fact that they could bounce back at a game that they were on the verge of getting blown out in, to come back and actually get a win. And I did think, after the way that they performed against Carolina, which to me was despicable, at home against the crappy Panthers, to perform like that, I did think they were going winless, or at least there was a real chance of that. So they bounced back and found a way to beat a bad Bengals team. I don't see many wins left on the schedule here, but now at least that they got the first one, rest up during the bye week here, and then kind of start season two, where you had the experience of eight games, you've got to win, you've got to bye. I'm very curious to see what Aaron Glenn's team looks like after the bye year against a soft schedule, but I still don't think the Jets are very good at all.
It gives you a different level of entry, though, and it's, it's a chance now for Aaron to have some of his, not his concepts, but just some of his messaging root now, because no matter how, and he's been combative and he's been a little antagonistic with the media, that's fine if you win. If you don't, you're gonna get yourself run out of town. But I think that when you look at a team that's trying to learn how to win, you can say it over and over, and you could clap your hands and you could dance up and down the sidelines and you could gyrate and pump your fist and get everybody jacked up. If there's not a win to reinforce what you try to teach, it's impossible to move forward. Small step forward, but a step, and a good one. So it's good.
Needed the win.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm going to tell you something that is a fantasy. I'm just going to get it out of the way, because I know if I say this on Wednesday or Thursday, Sean and Tommy, rightfully so, would mock me. But today, you're not going to mock me. You're going to allow me to dream. The New York Jets haven't had a franchise quarterback in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
They have had one franchise quarterback in their history. His name is Joe Namath. You guys on the Giant end, you think you have one in Jackson Dart. It certainly feels that way. You had one in Eli Manning. You had one in Phil Sims. You had even before that. And you've done it the traditional way. You draft a first-round pick, develop the guy, franchise quarterback. Now, let me fantasize for a second. And I admit this is a fantasy. Wouldn't it be something if the Jets found their franchise quarterback and that guy blossomed into what many thought he could be when a billionaire owner decided to criticize him in an unfair way? Like, this was, in a lot of ways, when you look at the Jet game, it's the... They did it for Nick Mangold game.
I don't think they did, though. I think that just happened. That just happened.
You're right. So let's get to the one that's more realistic. It's the screw you, Woody Johnson game. Because Justin Fields, who we all buried. I buried him. You, but we all got. I stinks. The lottery ticket. Rip it up. It's over. He gets criticized by Woody Johnson. He gets to start anyway, probably because of Tyrod's injury, but maybe we'll never know.
And by the way, they're not even saying who's going to start after the bye week.
I know. I know. More on that later.
Right.
And that's the game where Justin Fields figures it out. Mm-hmm. And so when we watch the biography of Justin Fields 20 years from now after he leads the Jets to multiple Super Bowls, are we going to think back to the Woody Johnson criticism and then he found a way and then that's it? He became a superstar? Wouldn't that be, Teak, the ultimate fantasy of how the Jets finally found their franchise quarterback?
It would be, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to be. We'll see what happens after the bye week. It's a good thing to go into a bye week with a win because you just you actually now feel like the other seven losses don't matter.
Well,
I mean, they obviously do, but you feel like, hey, man, we're good. We just won a game. So you fool yourself into thinking it doesn't matter. From, I'm talking from a player standpoint. We can just go out and win the remaining nine games. We're going to be good to go. Like you tell yourself that. It's not true, but you tell yourself that.
Just like I tell myself, this is the beginning chapter of the Justin Fields story.
Yes, that's probably not the case. He's got to do it at least five more times in these nine games of remaining. So more than not, he's got to play like this to make you feel like, all right, he's worth hanging on to.
Oh, 100%.
If he's anything less than that, if there's like six games where he just looks horrendous like he did in the few other games that he played this year, you're just going to say, you know what, move on.
100%. This is a fantasy because the Jets finally won a game, and it came on the heels of Woody Johnson openly criticizing the quarterback. And then to Justin's credit, if you watch his postgame, if you listen to his postgame, you'll rarely ever hear the brutal honesty and the openness that Justin Fields showed talking about what this week was like without directly pointing the finger at Woody Johnson.
Right.
He talked about crying in the closet this week. He talked about, you know, really everything he went through.
Right.
And look,
got benched.
He got benched.
He was brought here to be the guy last week against the Panthers. He got benched. That's embarrassing.
He got benched. And he also, whether he wants to make a big deal of it or not, he got openly criticized by the billionaire owner.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
That is a big deal.
It should be a big deal.
Now there's not a tie. It's not like this owner was part of a organization that drafted him.
Right.
So it almost feels he doesn't really know me yet. You can excuse it, but you really can't. It's just when the owner basically says you suck, it puts a lot of pressure on you. A lot of pressure.
And look at the way he responded. And look how he responded.
There's always pressure on you.
Yeah.
But when an owner says my quarterback sucks, dude, how the hell do you even approach him anymore? I wonder what Woody said to him after the game.
Well, Woody should have. Well, that's a big question. Did Woody speak to him after the game?
Or reached out? He's got to have his cell phone number, contact information. I wonder if Woody is going to rectify this.
I think he should.
I think he should.
Easy rectification is, hey, Justin, I'm so proud of you.
Yes.
You played a hell of a game. And how about this part? I'm sorry. Because even if I'm critical of your play, which Justin knows he wasn't playing great, I probably shouldn't have done it in a public way, and I probably shouldn't have done it in a pointed way.
Yes.
And Justin Fields, who, as a human, forget his quarterback play, comes across like a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a religious guy. He talked about everything he went through over the last few weeks. I would assume Justin Fields' response to Woody Johnson would be, I forgive you. It wouldn't be, go screw.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't be that. It would be, I forgive you. But who knows? Maybe this is like the movie Major League. Woody Johnson comes out, he's berating everybody, and the team rallies against the owner. I don't care why. All I know is they won a football game yesterday. Justin Fields was outstanding. And the Jet offense, which over the last 2 weeks had produced how many yards in totality?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. They went out and produced 501 total yards. They rushed for 254 yards, 30 of which came from Justin Fields, one of which came on a two-point conversion. Like, this offense was spectacular.
Yeah, you know why? I said it before, and I wanted to confirm what I saw in Carolina against Carolina. The offensive coordinator, Tanner Engstrand, got his head out of his butt.
There you go.
Because last week against Carolina, it was either a designed rollout or a quick half a step, two step, get rid of the ball, drops. That's all you saw. Over, and it's the same thing over and over. And if you're a defense, all you have to do is sit. You don't have to wait. You're not like backing up in the coverage, worrying about somebody beating you deep like Tyler Johnson did over and over and over again. You're not worried about anything because you know he's only throwing it 4 yards.
Right.
And so give the kid a chance. They finally gave Jackson Dart. They finally gave Justin Fields a chance. And it reminds me what we saw in week one. I don't know what happened in those 5 weeks, but I almost feel like you flushed it down the toilet, this opportunity to help Justin Fields become the player that you're paying $20 million a year to do. So good job, Tanner Engstrand. I don't know if that was Aaron Glenn saying, dude, open this thing up, or what do we have to lose? And it might have been the latter, because when they went for 2 points, 30-38, in my head, I'm sitting there going, why the hell are you going for two?
Oh, I loved it.
No. Subsequently, I got there, and right. I was like, oh, I get it. Man, if you miss it, you still can go for two the second time.
Bingo.
If you make it, you can win the game, and you're 0-7.
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
Right? You have nothing to lose. And so I hope that's what Aaron Glenn's mentality was coming into that game, because the hardest win to get for any new coach, I know a lot of coaches that were rookies, and they all said the same thing. The hardest thing to get is the first win. And he finally got it.
He did. WFN NFL football is powered by Verizon. And we know that Nick Mangold, who loved his Jets even after retirement, was looking down and smiling on that. But we will all miss Nick Mangold. And again, condolences to his family on what was a tragic, tragic announcement yesterday. We'll get to the Giants coming up. The three major emotions that come out of that Giant loss to the Eagles. Plus your calls on the Jets, on the Giants, on Nick Mangold. 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.